Some prophecies are even sung. A prophecy, according to Noah Webster's dictionary, is a foretelling, a prediction, a declaration of something to come. As God knows future events with certainty, no being but God or some person informed by him can utter a true prophecy. The prophecies recorded in Scripture, when fulfilled, afford most convincing evidence of the divine origin of the Scriptures. So when a prophecy is stated and then fulfilled, it proves that Scriptures are divine in origin. Okay, thank you, Chico. Appreciate that. So what is a prophet? A biblical prophet is God's spokesperson. A prophet is usually called a seer, a man of God, or a dreamer of dreams. A prophet can receive a prophecy directly spoken from God or given through a vision or through a dream or through a revelation or through an intermediary being such as an angel or the Jesus Christ. Oscar Baker said on Prophetic Times that some say that the first prophecy given in the Bible is Genesis 3:15. When God spoke to the serpent in Eden. Genesis 3:15, he says, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." This is divided into four parts. Number one, the enmity between Satan and Israel. Number two, the enmity between Antichrist and Christ. Number three, Christ to crush Satan's head. And four, Satan to crush, bruise Christ's heel. So this is the conflict, the outline of the conflict of the ages. We're not left in doubt as to the outcome. Notice in the first prophecy in the Bible, it is spoken directly from God himself. Abraham was the first prophet, Genesis 27 and 2017. He was not a predictor, but a spokesman of God. Joseph was a prophet, not a predictor, but a dreamer. Job was a prophet who spoke of a redeemer and resurrection. Aaron was a prophet because Moses asked God to choose someone else. Moses became an intermediary prophet between God and Aaron. Aaron often spoke what God said to Moses, and Moses was a prophet. Samuel was a prophet. David was a prophet. And there are the predictive prophets such as Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, the 12 minor prophets, and Daniel. A number of the Psalms are predictive in character. And many Bible characters had prophetic names. I'm sure you've heard of that adage, the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, and the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. This is tantamount to saying the Old Testament is prophecy revealed in the New Testament. How much of the New Testament is about the future? We know that the New Testament also contains much prophecy itself in the forms of signs and parables and miracles and even revelations. However, we know that there are seven books of the New Testament that have nothing to do with prophecies contained in the Old Testament. Did the Gospels contain any prophecies? Was Jesus a prophet? God's spokesman? Everything Jesus said was from God. Some religions believe that that's all he was a prophet. Deuteronomy 18:18 is a prophecy about a prophet. it says, I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he will speak unto them all that I shall command him. John 1:21. Art thou that prophet? Those were inquiring of John the Baptist. John 6:14. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come or is coming into the world. John 7:40. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, of a truth, this is the prophet. As Deuteronomy 18:18 says, every word Jesus spoke would come from his Father. He was the ultimate prophet. John 12:50 says, and I know that his commandments is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. In John 14:10, Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the work. What about the book of Revelation? That whole book is prophecy that God gave to the ascended Lord Jesus and sent by him unto his servant John by his angel. Yes, Jesus was fulfilling many Old Testament prophecies, and Revelation will also fulfill Old Testament prophecies, but that old adage is way off the mark when it comes to rightly dividing the word of truth. So there is a lot of prophecy in the New Testament yet to be fulfilled. Okay, well, you've just completed your course on Prophecy 101. Now we're going to leap way ahead to prophecy. Course in Prophecy 701. With the foregoing as a foundation, here are some leading questions for our study. Do all biblical prophecies pertain to the nation of Israel? Do all biblical prophecies pertain to the nation of Israel? At this present time, in this present biblical age, in this present dispensation of God, are there any biblical prophecies being fulfilled? Are there any biblical prophecies that pertain to the body of Christ? If this present dispensation of grace was hidden from ages and generations and hidden God from the beginning of the world, and was not revealed until it was revealed to the Apostle Paul, then how could any biblical prophecy speak to it? If Israel is now Lo Ami and the body of Christ is part of a secret dispensation to fill this gap of time, how can there be any biblical prophecies that pertain to the present age, which was kept secret? Was the Apostle Paul a prophet? Have you ever considered Paul as a prophet? In his first epistle, Paul wrote this to the Galatians. Galatians 1, 11 and 12. I've got Chico hustling here. Galatians 1, 11 through 12. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. In Paul's Acts period epistles, did he write any foretelling about the future that might have been revealed to him from above? How did he know about the resurrection of the dead and the coming of the Lord in 1 Thessalonians 4:15 through 17? And Chico, you don't have to list all these because I'm just going to rattle through some of these. He also predicted these things in 2 Thessalonians 1:7-10, 2:3-4, and 2:7-12. How did he know that the saints will judge the world in 1 Corinthians 6:2? And the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God in 1 Corinthians 6:9. How did Paul know about the details of then cometh the end in 1 Corinthians 15:23-28? How did Paul know the mystery of resurrection in 1 Corinthians 15:50-55, where he says, in a twinkling of an eye? Do these not fit the definition of prophecy? In 1 Corinthians 11:10, Paul wrote, the spirit of prophecy was given as one of the several gifts of the Spirit. We normally do not think of Paul as a prophet. What did he say during the Acts period to the elders from the assembly at Ephesus who came to Miletus? In Acts 20:29-30, Paul said, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, and draw away disciples of them. These are only a few examples of prophecies given by Paul during the Acts period. Are there any prophecies concerning the body of Christ in the Bible? When we talk about the dispensation of grace of God and the dispensation of the mystery of the body of Christ, the first biblical prophecies most of us will think of are written in Hosea. Hosea 1:9 says, then God said, call his name Lo-Ami, for ye are not my people, and I will not be your God. In Hosea 3:4, for the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king, and without a prince, and without a sacrifice, and without an image, and without an ephod, and without teraphim. And in Hosea 6:2 says, after 2 days will he revive us. In the third day he will raise us up and we shall live in his sight. But do these prophecies concern the body of Christ or Israel? These concern Israel. Do they not? The dispensation of the secret of the body of Christ and the salvation of God being sent to the Gentiles simply fill this prophetic time of unknown duration when God holds all things concerning Israel in advance, while he takes time to bless the Gentiles. Any prophecies pertaining to the body of Christ would have to be given post-Acts. The only biblical prophecies written after the end of the Acts would have to be written by Paul. Were there prophets after the end of Acts? Well, Ephesians 2:20 says, now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. These were post-Acts apostles and prophets, and were foundational only. Ephesians 3:5 says, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Now in Ephesians 4, Paul quotes Psalm 68:18. And that's in Ephesians 4:8. Paul quotes Psalms 68:18. Psalm 68:18 says, "Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men." Thou hast received gifts for men. But Ephesians 4:8 says, "Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men." Gave gifts unto men. So the Hebrew, lakah, L-A-K-A-H, has a twofold meaning. That is, receiving and giving. Having received gifts in Psalm 68:18, he gave gifts in Ephesians 4:8. Ephesians 4:11, well, starting at verse 10, Ephesians 4:10, Paul says, he that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So these gifts are the gifts of grace, as in Ephesians 4:7, as given to every one of us according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Paul did not imply in Ephesians 4:11 was a fulfillment of Psalm 68:18, because Jesus gave spiritual gifts during the Acts period in 1 Corinthians 12. Christ gave different gifts after the Acts period and is still giving gifts of grace today. When he returns, he will come with rewards for the faithful of Israel. But these apostles and prophets, evangelists and pastors and teachers were for the specific purpose of perfecting the saints, the saved believers, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. The apostles and prophets were only foundational and existed at that time. The ministry was carried on and is still carried on by evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Are there prophets in this present dispensation? Only initially. And Paul was the only one whom we have evidence. We normally don't think of Paul as a prophet. Was Paul a prophet? He never wrote that he was a prophet, but he had a lot to say about the future. Was Paul given the spiritual gift of prophecy? Did Paul retain the spiritual gift of prophecy from the Acts period? Or was he given a new gift of grace after the Acts period? In Ephesians 3:2, Paul says, "If ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you ward." In Ephesians 3:8, Paul says, "Unto me is this grace given." Paul had a lot to say about the future, both during the Acts and during the post-Acts ministries. According to the definition of a prophecy, did Paul write any post-Acts prophecies? Again, it must have been made prior to its fulfillment. It must be beyond human foresight. It must give details and not just broad statements. It must be capable of fulfillment by the prophet himself. It must have a clear and obvious fulfillment, and it must come from above. For here's Paul's prophecy, one I know of concerning the Lord Jesus Christ in Philippians 2:10-11. Philippians 2:10-11. I want to slow down and give Chico a chance to catch up. Philippians 2:10-11. Paul said that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That is a prophecy by Paul about the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 4:18. 2 Timothy 4:18 is a prophecy about Paul himself. 2 Timothy 4:18 says, "And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." I believe that Paul wrote some post-Acts prophecies about two groups of believers, which we will politely call those approved and those disapproved, according to 2 Timothy 2:15. Just like the prophecies concerning Israel, there are positive prophecies and there are not positive prophecies. We're getting now into prophecies for today. Paul wrote prophecies concerning the disapproved or the ashamed believers. Here Paul predicts what the future would be concerning believers in this once secret dispensation. 1 Timothy 4:1-3. 1 Timothy 4:1-3. "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the later times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with the hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth." The history of Christianity proves that these things did come about. Men took the freedom in Christ and made a religion of Christianity, which became infused with paganism and Greek philosophy, mythology, ritualism, traditions, and the doctrines of men. Every great house, there are vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. Paul knew that Timothy and the seekers of the truth would encounter resistance and opposition by the religious, who Paul describes as captives of Satan's will, snared by his deceits and lies, who need to repent unto the acknowledging of the truth. So turn to 2 Timothy 2:24-26. 2 Timothy 2:24-26. "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure would give them repentance unto the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." There could be not a better description of what has become of the religion of Christianity. Religion is made possible by those who either are unable to study and question what is taught, or by those who refuse to do so without excuse. Now turn to 2 Timothy 3:1. where Paul furthers this prophecy of 1 Timothy 4 in further detail. 2 Timothy 3:1. This ye know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. I'm going to interject some words from Oscar Baker on this, from Truth for Today, Book 2, Volume 16. Oscar says, most people read this passage without very serious thought as to whom it might refer. They do not even think very seriously of the time involved. Let us look again. The time is the last days. The last days of what period of time? Is it the last days of the present earth, with a new earth in view, as spoken by Peter? Or is it the last days of the dispensation of the mystery? Since we have seen from former studies that the comparison of Ephesians and Colossians as to the doctrine of the mystery, and Philippians and 2 Timothy as to working out of that salvation or calling, then this must be speaking of the last days of the dispensation in question, the dispensation of the mystery. 2 Timothy 3:2. 2 Timothy 3:2. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Paul is talking about believers here. He is not talking about worldly people. So to whom does this refer? Does it refer to the people of the world? This is Oscar Baker speaking, by the way. The nations and their strife and wars? To those who never had contact with Christianity or believed the word of truth? Or does it refer to those who have been exposed to the truth of the mystery and maybe even made a profession, but became reprobate, as verse 8 seems to indicate? And note that it says, these folks have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof, in verse 5. Does this mean anything? Continuing on in 2 Timothy 3:6, 3:6 through 9. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. Oscar says, surely we live in these last days, and this is the picture of the Christendom we know. A great organization that has been formed by man. It professes to know God and do his work. It has its schools and colleges, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Many of our friends are well aware of what will happen to the man who will dare to try to proclaim the truth in these man-made organizations. You can talk politics, you can talk sports, you can give a book review, you can teach economics or have parties or even dances. But just try to get a word in of truth and see what happens. No, we're not passing judgment. We just simply see the prophecy in the book, and we see it fulfilled before our very eyes. You can see that this whole mess is of the flesh. They amuse themselves. They are well-spoken of the world outside, for they are a bunch of do-gooders, and that takes with the world. But in the light of all this, in the midst of it, the apostle warns in verse 12 that all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. The apostates do not want their system disturbed. This is the same condition the Lord found here in his time on earth. Verse 12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Oscar says things will not get better. Verse 13 tells us that evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived, and we must learn to live godly in these surroundings. And we see this every day. Turn to 2 Timothy 4, 2 Timothy 4, 3 through 4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itchy ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Fables are myths, mythology. These are the prophets that those professing the religion of Christianity should take heed. These are the prophecies that those professing the religion of Christianity should take heed. Although these are not necessarily end-time prophecies, they are the prophecies being fulfilled throughout this dispensation, and especially in the latter times, or in the last days of this dispensation of the mystery. Prophecies being fulfilled today. Before God spoke the first prophecy in Genesis 3:15, he had already chosen out the members of the body of Christ, who would eventually rightly divide the word of truth, 2 Timothy 2:15, to the intent that the manifold wisdom of God would be known unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places, Ephesians 3:10. These are called the approved unto God workmen that needeth not to be ashamed. Just as Israel was blind to some prophecies and rejected others, we have a parallel in the religion of Christianity today. Prophecies for today are being overlooked or rejected concerning the two companies of God's people of today, the approved and the disapproved. Among the prophecies being fulfilled today are those pointing to the very Christians who are more concerned about the end-time prophecies to Israel. They are focused on the coming kingdom, or the Antichrist, or the rapture, or the second coming of the Lord, instead of the prophecies written by our beloved apostle and prophet Paul about these very Christians. Without sounding arrogant or judgmental, we can only point out that the not-so-obvious from Paul's admonitions that are being exposed. Some post-Acts prophecies written by Paul concern the disapproved religious people, as we just previously pointed out. These prophecies are being fulfilled before very eyes. The religion of Christianity has not escaped from the prophecies concerning the disapproved or the ashamed of Paul's epistles. But for those whose eyes of understanding are being enlightened, there is still an opportunity to be approved or not ashamed, and to come unto the knowledge of the truth, and enjoy the prophecies that pertain to the body of Christ. Are there prophecies in the Bible about the body of Christ? There are. Paul does have some positive prophecies concerning the body of Christ. So let us rejoice in the precious prophecies given by Paul concerning us, the called out members of the body of Christ. And here's just a few. You may find others. Ephesians 2:7. Ephesians 2:7. Paul says that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. I like that prophecy. Colossians 3:4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. That's a prophecy. That's a prophecy about the members of the body of Christ. 2 Timothy 4:8. 2 Timothy 4:8. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but also to all them that also love, that love his appearing. Another precious prophecy for us. These are precious prophecies for today that are a part of truth for today. Prophecies about the body of Christ. Without these prophecies, where would we find the hope of his calling? Titus 1:2 says, in the hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Titus 1:2. And Titus 2:13, Paul says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Christ Jesus. So most, but not all prophecies in the Bible pertain to Israel. Without prophecies, where would there be any hope for Israel? Without prophecies, would there be any hope for the body of Christ? This is important. Prophecies are essential to the hope of every calling. Prophecies are essential to the hope of every calling. Without prophecy, there is no hope. Think about that. Without prophecy, there is no hope. Even the overcomers in Revelation are given hope by the prophecies contained therein. The first prophecy in the Bible gives hope to all mankind. There are prophecies being fulfilled in this present dispensation. Some are positive prophecies and some are not so positive. Some concern the religious persons who are either disapproved or apostate concerning the truth, and some concern the hope of the body of Christ. These very prophecies are being fulfilled in the last days of this dispensation, while Israel is lo ami. These prophecies were written in the post-Acts epistles by our beloved apostle and prophet Paul, that we may know the hope of his calling. That we may know the hope of his calling. So congratulations, you've just completed your course on Prophecy 701. Thank you, Lord, for these precious words in your word of truth. We ask you to bless the members of the body of Christ as we go about our week and we go about our year. Give us work to do. Give us strength and guidance as we put on the full armor of God in this crazy world to survive all the fiery darts of the evil one. Thank you, Lord. We love you. We love all the members of the body of Christ. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.